Hello everyone and welcome to this week's Lemon Snail podcast with me, Gary Jones. Now, I hope you've all had a fantastic week and I have got a great interview with you for you today because I have got the fantastic Linda Scannell. Now, Linda Scannell is a videographer and a photographer and a really lovely lady, and we're going to be talking about hints, tips and going to give you loads of ideas regarding your business, your personal life, winged photos and videos, and also just letting you know why they're important. Now, the interview splits into three parts. So the first part is going to be talking about her history, her background, but also why she got into photography. So let's join me and Linda for part one of this great interview. Today's second interview is with the lovely Linda Scannell, and we caught up with her probably about a month ago, wasn't it, at the Lemon Snail Live. And we said at that point we were going to do a much deeper, in-depth interview. So thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for asking me.
No, it's cool. And so tell us a little bit more about you and a bit about where you've come from and where you are now.
Right. Well, I was born and bred in Leamington Spa.
Cool.
50 years ago last week.
Hey!
So, yeah, I spent most of my childhood in Leamington, various places in Leamington. My parents moved around a lot. And yeah, and then when I was 23, I moved all the way to Warwick.
Yeah.
So apart from probably about 6 months living in Solihull, I've literally spent my whole time in Warwickshire.
Cool. Okay.
So I'm a true Warwickshire girl. Yeah. So when I was at school, my real passion or what I wanted to do was art and photography.
Mm-hmm.
But my parents encouraged me to get a proper job.
Proper job, yeah.
Yeah, so I've worked at various businesses and local authority in the area for 20 odd years, mainly doing IT. And the time came to basically get a new job. So I was sort of in my early 40s at this stage. I think, do I carry on doing this? Or do I actually have my midlife crisis and go back to what I really wanted to do when I was a teenager?
Yeah.
So I decided, well, if I don't try now, I'll never do it. So, yeah, so I created Linda Scannell Photography.
Okay.
And here we are. So.
Wow, cool. I can imagine your IT background probably has actually influenced and helped what you're doing now a little bit.
Totally. I almost feel sorry for photographers who've had the traditional upbringing with film and don't understand all the bits and bobs around, using the PC and the Mac, and simple things like backing up and so on, you know, because I cut my teeth in sort of operations and so on. I know all about how to look after your files and things, which is crucial. And you do hear these horrible stories where people have, you know, not backed up the files and then lost, you know, everybody's wedding photos and things like that. And you think, oh, that's shocking. I mean, I had a hard disk go wrong a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But it's all backed up elsewhere, so it's not a major disaster.
No.
But if I hadn't, that could have been
dangerous
problem.
Yeah.
So so understanding how computers work and how digital files and all those sorts of things, it really, really helps me, a great background. So when I switched from film to digital photography, which I did before I turned professional, it was just a natural progression for me. It wasn't
a massive leap.
No, not at all. So in fact it was great because I didn't have access to a dark room before, whereas on the computer, Mac that I've got, you know, that Photoshop is effectively a digital dark room, and amazing the things that you can do that you couldn't even have done, you know, back in dark room days. So, love it.
So what kind of drives you towards that kind of art and photography? Because you obviously had the passion early on.
Yeah.
You know, so it's always been there, but what drives you to it?
I think photography specifically, because I've always had a creative streak. I used to love drawing and painting when I was a child, but I was never particularly good, particularly at the painting side.
Yeah.
Whereas with photography, I could create things that you know, transfer the ideas in my head, turned into what was actually on the printed paper.
Makes sense.
So for me, that's the best medium to get my creative ideas down. Mm. And it's, if I'm not creating things, I really miss that.
And do you kind of, I know when I've spoken to other photographers in the past, they've kind of looked at different objects or different scenes and gone, I must use that. Or,
yes.
You know, they get snaps of information, you know, inspiration in different places. Are you the same? Do you
Absolutely. They say the camera is a device that teaches you how to see.
Ah.
And that's so true. that once you learn photography and you learn how to see light and so on, you look at things in a different way. I mean, my kids will tell you, I drive them mad because we'll go out on a day out and I'll just a minute, and I want to photograph something. Often it's a piece of, you know, concrete or something like that, and I go, oh God, here we go again. Because it's texture. So oh, okay. I'm, you know, collecting textures that I can then use in my fine art photography to make it more interesting. So we were out in the Cotswolds on Saturday afternoon, and there was this really old rusty table, and I just, my daughter just goes, texture.
Just a one word. Yeah, that's all you need to say.
Yeah, so it does, it makes you look at the world in a different way, and makes you see things that perhaps you didn't see before you did photography. So, you know, and looking for the light as well. Again, I'll also tell you, I was walking home from school with my daughter the other day, and there was just the light was just, the way the sun was in the sky was just perfect. I said, just stand there. I got this fabulous portrait of it because it was just spot on. I knew that from just watching it. So, yeah, I think it makes you appreciate the world and see all the details that perhaps those who don't do photography don't necessarily see.
Oh.
So, you know, if you don't want to do it as a career, I think it's worth taking up to learn
how to skills.
Do it. Yeah.
Oh, cool. And you say you've always been a Warwickshire lass, so Leamington, Warwick, a little bit in Solihull. Have you got any kind of favourite places in around here that you really like to go to?
Oh, I love Kenilworth Castle. I love the Burton Dasset Hills. You can just stand on top there on a gorgeous day and see for miles and miles and miles.
Yeah.
I better pick somewhere in Warwick, haven't I? I just like, we live sort of on the north side of Warwick, and you know, we're near the fields, and we go walking in the fields most evenings, and you know, particularly this time of year when if you're out at 9 o'clock at night, the sun's low in the sky, it's just gorgeous, you know, watching, looking at the light shining off the wheat and stuff like that.
Nice. No, I've always been, I'm born and bred in Leamington as well.
Yeah.
Moved to Warwick when I was 20, probably around 23, 24. And I'm still there.
Yeah.
And, but it's lovely. And I can't imagine if you're anywhere else at the moment, purely because we've got everything here.
Yeah.
We've pretty much got everything. And Warwick, the pace of life there is a little bit slower than Leamington, but Leamington's vibrant, it's exciting. Business and independent culture there is just crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. Warwick, a bit more traditional, but you can't get a good cup of tea in the oak and tea rooms. It's beautiful.
Yeah, there's just so many different things to see. And, as you say, it's just so convenient. I mean, I live near Warwick Parkway Railway Station, so if I have jobs down in London, I can be in London in an hour and a half.
Mm.
You know, right by the M40, so I have to sort of rule of thumb that I mainly operate within an hour's drive. Well, that can take you sort of right the way down into the Cotswolds, all the way, you know, I was up in Nottingham last week, that sort of thing. So it's so convenient here. My only complaint is I love the seaside, and we're just about as far from the sea as you can get. So
If Leamington could be by the sea, I think I would be in heaven.
That would be perfect.
Oh yeah, right. It would be, because the water, I love running water anywhere. So the canals don't run through it. I'm there every day, pretty much. And I've got to get my fix of natural water.
Yeah.
Call me a water junkie, I don't care. It's just something that I love. So, yeah, seaside, I get it.
Yeah, so I have to have a dose of the sea every few months.
Fair enough. But, again, you're only a couple of hours away.
Yeah. You know, if you go to the Gower, that's probably the nearest, nicest place to go, I think. So 2.5 hours. As long as you don't pick a really sunny day and get trapped in Swansea because everybody else is going to the Gower.
This is true. This is true. So, when we're talking about your business a little bit more, how has it evolved since you first started it? Is it the same business as what it was when you first had the initial idea?
Well, I'm sat here shaking my head and we're on audio, which doesn't help at all, does it? So, yeah, it's completely different. When I first started, it was mainly weddings and families.
Okay.
So a lot of weekend stuff, private clients,
mm-hmm.
which I loved. But I've got my husband and kids, my husband works normal office hours, my children at school.
Mm-hmm.
So what was happening was I was at home during the week, and then weekends I'd be off playing with other people's kids and watching other people have fun while my family went off and did their thing. So I just thought, this doesn't sort of sit quite
doesn't
right.
Gel, yeah.
Yeah, so I sort of reviewed my sort of objectives for going into business in the first place and thought, actually, I need to build up the commercial side. Because I love photographing people, and there's a real demand for business portraits and so on. So, I've built up the portrait side, so it's taken up a much bigger part of my business now. So most of my work is during the week. I still do family shoots at the weekends, yeah. Pet shoots as well, which we've talked about before.
Yeah.
I've always loved cute furry animals. So, yeah, so it has changed around.
Yeah.
And obviously I've introduced the education side of it as well, the training side.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't expecting to do at the start. I didn't think there'd be that much demand for it. But there definitely was a need, particularly on training business people, which yeah. doesn't seem to be a market that's covered by.
No. Well, I think now's a good time to maybe break for the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we come back, we can talk a bit more about the training side, because that is certainly something that I've noticed in the past from you educating different people.
Yeah.
I've contacted you before asking advice.
Yeah.
And yeah, then we can talk about a few little bits more. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine.
Cool. Thank you. If you did want to get on the podcast, all you need to do is contact me through Twitter, search me at Leamington Hour, all one word, and then you'll be able to find us, connect with us. You can check me on LinkedIn and Facebook as well as Gary Jones. But mainly, let me know about your story. Let me know about your business or event, and we'll get it sorted. But I would love to have you on the show, and I would love to hear, promote, and connect you with other business owners and help you promote your business or service. Let's rejoin me and Linda in the second part of this three-part interview. We're back with part two. So, in the break, we've been talking about loads of stuff, and we've just got so much stuff to talk about. So let's rejoin where we were to start off with. So we were talking about training and why it was important. So how did you start getting into training, and why do you love it so much?
Well, I learnt to train as part of my job 20-odd years ago.
Yeah.
And I used to get tremendous satisfaction from it, because in those days I used to teach people how to use computers, and it was days where you didn't have a computer at home.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of people who were used to doing stuff very manually, or perhaps with a typewriter, and they'd come in at the start of the day completely terrified about this box with it was green screens in those days, and green writing on black background.
Yeah.
And they were almost terrified to turn it on, they were going to break it. And at the end of the day, they'd leave really confident and think, oh, actually, it wasn't as hard as I thought. And it was really satisfying. So when I was looking in at the photography business and sort of reviewing what I did, there was quite a lot of examples where people perhaps couldn't afford me to do a professional shoot for them,
mm-hmm.
but still needed the images somehow. And there were images that, if they knew a little bit, they could have actually achieved with their phone.
Mm.
So I started doing sort of using my training skills to teach them how to do it.
Okay.
And got the same level of satisfaction as I did, previously. So I thought, this seems to be a niche that's not catered for in photography training.
Mm-hmm.
There's loads and loads of photography training if you want to go out and photograph landscapes or photograph your kids, but not so much around your business.
Mm.
And these days with social media, it's so important to have photos.
Yeah.
To illustrate your tweets and your Facebook updates and even your LinkedIn updates, because it's just the amount of engagement you'll get with a tweet or so on when you've got an image attached to it is far greater.
Mm.
So why not, learn how to do it? So that's sort of where I've come up from the photography and videography training as well, because I learnt video for my business about 4 or 5 years ago when Canon first put video capabilities on their camera, because I'm a bit of a geek, so I like to know. Oh, if it does this, how do I do it?
Yeah, I can imagine
absolutely.
That.
I'm not scared of new technology at all. I just want to know how to get the most from it.
Yeah.
And so I learned it on the Canon cameras, and then realised that once you could start to do video on iPhones, that actually it was damn good quality video. So learn how to get the most out of those and teach people how to do those as well. So, yeah. Cool. So I get probably the best satisfaction is after leaving a training course and everybody's gone away really excited.
There's about a buzz about it.
Yeah, you using feel their like new you've skills. Done it. And when they get back to you, say, "Oh, I did this, Linda, and it made this much difference." I think, "Oh, yes, that's really satisfying."
Oh, cool! And when's your next training session coming up? Because is there one in a couple of months' time?
Yes, there's a classroom-based course. I don't usually run them in the summer because everybody's off on holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
So when your kids go back to school in September, the week after, the 12th of September, I'm running one of my video marketing with your phone courses over in Warwick. So,
Cool. Have you got a website set up for that yet?
Yes. You can book it. If you go to lindascanlon.com on my front page, you've got upcoming events, and there's a link to the one in September. There's another one in November. You can click on that. You can book and take you automatically to the Eventbrite link.
Lovely.
Book that way.
What I'll do is I'll include that into the show notes as well. So if anyone did want to get a bit more information, they can. So that's brilliant. That goes on to the next bit that I thought about was I heard of a site called Skillshare.
Yeah.
And I know they obviously do online courses, and that's something that you're just getting into, is that right?
Yes, I'm writing a course to teach you how to do a short about me video.
Okay.
Again, using your phone.
Yeah.
And it'll be about half an hour, three quarters of an hour long course. Mm-hmm. So if you subscribe to Skillshare, then you'll be able to watch that course and learn how to do a simple about me video, which is a great introduction to using video to promote your business, because it's so important now. Not just, well, YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world after Google. Yep. And certainly, I know from my kids and their friends, they spend most of their time on YouTube. And if you ask them how to do something, they'll go onto YouTube to find the answer rather than Google. So it's so important to have a video presence.
Mm-hmm.
And with a smartphone, whether it's an iPhone or an Android phone, you've got a really good video camera in your pocket. Yeah. Don't think you haven't, because the quality of that is better than some of the little video cameras that were out just a few years ago.
Well, I was just about to say that, because is that kind of a common misconception that when it comes to technology, you need to spend big?
Yes.
You need to get the biggest and flashiest kind of camera, video, whatever you need it to be. But actually, having the right techniques on the right product would actually be better. Have I got it right?
Is absolutely right. Okay. I've had, because I run photography courses as well, and I've had people rock up and they've spent thousands on the professional kit that I've got.
Yeah.
And they go, but Linda, my photos are still rubbish. And I go, okay, I'll show you how. And actually, you know, some of my fine art photography that sells and my most popular pictures I've taken on my phone when I was out running.
Yeah.
It is understanding how light works and how to make the most of the features, and using things like composition techniques, things like the rule of thirds, if you look that up.
Okay.
To give your photos that impact. And if you don't understand all that, you can buy the best camera in the world, and the stuff that comes off will not be the quality that you expect. It's not, I think it's one of the top annoyances for photographers. People look at photos and go, you must have a fantastic camera, and you just smile sweetly and think. you don't turn around to sort of Gordon Ramsay and say, well, you cook fantastic food because you've got a great frying pan.
Yeah, exactly.
It is knowing how to use the tools. And years ago, I always used to have a little point-and-shoot camera in my bag just to capture stuff out with the kids and so on, or anything that I saw. And ever since I've had an iPhone, I've not bothered with that because it's good enough. It does have limitations.
Yeah.
If you're into food photography, for instance, I don't know if you've seen it's very fashionable now to have stuff what's called very shallow depth of field. So just a small part of the photo is in focus and the rest of it is blurry.
Oh, yeah.
I love that style. But it's very hard to replicate that on iPhone because it's all to do with the size of the lens. But other stuff, if you want to take a picture of your building or landscapes or so on, an iPhone lens is perfect for that. So, or an Android phone lens is perfect for that. So, yes, you need to understand the limitations. You need to understand all the composition things, but once you do that, you'll get fantastic photos off your phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about spending a fortune on kit.
No. One thing we spoke about in the break as well was about businesses and how they're using photos and videos, because that's completely changing, and in a year's time, it would have probably changed again.
Yeah.
Because it's becoming more and more important. You've already touched upon social media, and the engagement, you're right, on photos is so much higher than the text.
Yeah.
Video, again, so much higher than the photo.
Yeah.
But why else should businesses kind of embrace it?
There's so many opportunities to use video to promote your business now.
Mm-hmm.
I ran my first video course, nearly 4 years ago, and people were struggling then to sort of see how it would help. But now, and it's exploded, certainly in the last 12 months, we've got live video like Periscope.
Yep.
Facebook Live is now available to virtually everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter now allows you to embed videos.
Yep.
Even Instagram, rather than having quick 15-second videos, you can have up to 1 minute videos now. So you can use your videos. That one video you can use on so many platforms.
Mm.
And people do watch video. There are some people who say, oh no, I don't like, I like sort of text, but that's fine. But there's still a bunch of people who would rather watch video, certainly in the younger age group. So you can have a video and then you can put a transcript to appeal to the people who just want to speed read. But it's been shown that video keeps people on your website longer, really improves your search engine optimization as a result. So it's well worth learning to do it.
Mm.
And certainly the skills that you develop learning to use video or learn to record yourself or appear on camera, they're skills that are going to help you feel more confident just talking to a room full of people even.
Yeah.
So I think for small business owners, video is the top thing to master.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are scared of it.
Yeah.
Because when you first watch yourself back on video, You don't sound how you expect.
No.
You don't look how you expect. And certainly the first time you record yourself, or the first time you appear on camera, there's something very intimidating about that lens.
Mm.
And I've seen people who have, you know, can quite happily just stand up and talk off the cuff to a room full of a couple of hundred people with no problem whatsoever.
Yep.
But the first time they appear on camera, they come across as very stilted and very nervous. And I think a lot of people record themselves once and think, oh God, am I like that in real life? Is that awful? And never ever want to go near it again.
Yeah.
And so my tip would be, don't let that scare you.
No.
Because you will find, and I've seen it so many times, just recording yourself doing it 2, 3, 4 times,
mm-hmm.
the difference between that first recording and the fourth or fifth recording is amazing. And you just start to relax and get into it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very intimidating, that little camera.
I can remember when Periscope came up first time. It came onto my radar in May last year.
Mm.
And I think it was probably about a month into it when I first started looking at it. And you're obviously quite big at that time on it. And you probably still are. I've just kind of drifted away.
I don't do as much as I should now.
I don't know. But I can remember the first one I did. I was really shocked about how I came across it. For the exact same points as what you just said. Slowly, I'd kind of broken down those barriers.
Yeah.
And still not happy with what I sound like or what I look like, but do you know what? I feel comfortable doing it and delivering it. And that's helped me present in groups, that's helped me, you know, talk in public. And it's just building those skills to be able to do it. But if I stopped it at the first hurdle, no chance would I have developed where I did. No. So you're dead right.
Yeah, it is practical. And actually, the big thing with video is I think you almost have to, you have to feel like you're being a bit over the top.
Yes.
Because when you're talking to people in a room, you're getting feedback from them.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when we did that Periscope thing back in, back in November.
Oh, was that with you, Sandra, Todd, and there's a few other people
over at Coventry Rugby Club. And because sometimes I think, oh, perhaps I'm not quite as bouncy in real life as I'm trying to be on video. But because I was interacting with the audience at the recording at the same time, I think, actually, I'm even more bouncy. I need to up it again. So we become very stilted and very professional and whatever the first time you record yourself on video. But you don't have to be like that. You've got to be at the point where you are how you are in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, when we're talking, we're going back to Skillshare, the course that I'm developing that's going to go on there is how to create an About Me video.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for me, a couple of ones. But the one that had the most difference was one I did for when I was still doing wedding photography.
Yeah.
And I did a video about how I approach wedding photography, showing some of the clips of the photos as well, but me talking about it. And it's basically what I used to say to clients when I met them.
Yeah.
Now, the way I do wedding photography might not be the way that you want as a bride or groom. So when I first put up that video, sometimes people say to me, oh, well, you know, I might scare people away. And the good news is I did scare people away. I got fewer inquiries.
Mm-hmm.
But the inquiries I did get
were
the ones who were keen to book.
Perfect.
Because I got rid of the people who didn't get how I did it
and
weren't interested in my style of photography, and I attracted the ones who really understood what I did.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having to go and meet people and spend an hour talking to them about weddings and so on, and then only book half of them, and in a lot of cases, they were willing to book me over the phone because they felt they'd met me.
Yeah.
They got what I did.
Mm.
So that video has saved me so much time.
Yeah.
So that's really what I'm getting at. Don't be afraid of scaring people off. As long as you come over on camera in the same way as you do in real life.
Yeah.
So once you've mastered that, then that video is going to save you so much time.
Mm-hmm. Let's just quickly touch upon headshots as well.
Yeah.
Because obviously social media is so prevalent everywhere at the moment. Sometimes headshots are the first opportunity to see the person behind the brand.
They certainly are.
So what's your kind of bugbears, or what's your impression about headshots?
Yes. I could go for hours about headshots. Yeah,
we've only got a few minutes.
Okay, in a few minutes. The thing to do is to think how you would meet a client for the first time.
Okay.
So, because people often say, well, what should I wear? And so, well, if you're meeting a client for the first time, what would you wear?
Hmm.
And that's what you probably need to wear in your headshot, because you're effectively meeting people for the first time.
Yep.
So if you wouldn't turn up in your wedding dress... Don't wear it in your headshot.
No.
You know, I've seen people in wedding dresses and the blokes are in sort of tuxedos and whatever.
Yeah.
Fine if you wear those stuff normally, but if you don't put wear that in your headshot. Yeah, it might be a nice photo of you looking happy, It's the same with people holding drinks and so on, or putting pictures of themselves up with all their family as well. I once had a really embarrassing situation where I met somebody at a networking do. The following day, they connected with me on LinkedIn. But I'm terrible with names, and I didn't recognise him for the photo, because it was a tiny picture of him, because it was a picture of him with all his family.
Oh, no.
So I said, well, thank you for offering to connect. Well, you know, how do you know me? And he says, well, actually, I met you yesterday, Linda. Oh, God, he was just going to die. So...
I think that's a reflection of his photo, not you, though.
Well, yes.
if you've got a group photo in a profile picture, who's to know?
Well, that's it. And I've seen somebody else who got a name that could be a man or a woman's name, and they got a picture with them and their husband, and whoever was connecting with them clearly didn't know whether they were male or female, because they're not messing in real life. So it's, I mean, the one exception I have, if you look at my Twitter photo, it is a picture with me with the Epithetus, because I won the SBS thing.
But then, to be fair, you look at your name... It's quite obvious. So you should be able to recognise that.
Yeah, and certainly for most of my target market is British, so they'd recognise Theo. They knew it wouldn't be exactly. Him. So, But, so headshot no-nos. And I think it's better to look at the camera.
Yeah.
Because we're naturally drawn to eyes. So if you're looking straight out of the screen at somebody, they're looking straight back at you. They're drawn to that photo.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bit of a debate about whether colour or black and white. I think colour is more... warm and attractive. I love black and white photography, but I think certainly for LinkedIn and Twitter and so on, you're better off with a colour profile picture.
No, I think for engagement as well.
Yeah.
Black and white can seem very harsh.
Yeah.
So I think, colour works. And that's cool.
Yeah.
So I think we've already kind of alluded to it, but at this point in the interview, I always ask everyone for their golden nugget. So what's their one bit of information, one bit of advice they'll give to anyone? Yeah. So what would yours be?
It is what I've given away already,
exactly,
which is the video thing. That do persist with video.
Mm-hmm.
Don't video yourself once and give up on it. Do try. Try wearing different clothes.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, whether it's stills or video, wearing different colours and shapes of clothes can change how you look on screen. I've seen people who turned up and looked a bit pasty and sort of ill, and you think, oh, did they get a good night's sleep or whatever? And then they put on a different scarf or jacket, and suddenly they look really alive.
Yeah.
And so if you've ever met anybody who does sort of colours for people, where they try all different swatches of colours.
There's a lady called Kathy Skinner who I know in a local... I think she actually works in the Banbury area, really. But she works with colours and... She talks about people.
I think there's a lady called Sarah Gray around here. But and it is something worth doing.
Yeah.
It may sound like mumbo jumbo, but just like in interior design, where a colour can look completely different when it's next to another colour, it's the same with your skin tone.
Mm-hmm.
So don't, if you feel you look a bit pasty or whatever, try different colours until you find something that really works.
Mm.
And again, for different body shapes, different shapes of clothes and vertical stripes, horizontal stripes, all those sorts of things can make a huge difference. So if you don't like the look of yourself the first time you video yourself,
don't
give up.
No, that's cool. Thank you so much. Now, if someone wants to get hold of you using social media or websites or good old-fashioned telephone, how would they do that?
Right. My main website is lindascannell.com. That's LINDASCANNELL.com.
Yeah.
And you'll find all my links to social media and that there. Or if you just Google Linda Scannell, I think I've driven all the other Scannells off the first and second page and probably hate me. So you'll find me as Linda Scannell on Twitter, Linda Scannell Photography on Facebook. I'm Lynn Scan on Instagram, because there is another lady, poor soul, who gets followed by
us. Oh, no.
Probably wonders what happens. We've got about two photos on Instagram. Where else? I'm Linda Scannell on Pinterest. Yeah, I mean, if you Google me, you'll find me.
So, Lynn Scannell, pretty much on all the boards. Nice. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. And there's going to be an extra podcast section coming up in probably about 8 weeks' time. So, if you want to hear more from Linda, check out the show notes. Cheers, Linda.
Thank you very much.
Now, in this special podcast extra, I ask all my guests what their top three tips are. So, these are just pure golden nuggets to help you and your business. So, let's take it away with Linda's top tips. I love to ask all of my guests what their three top tips are, or three things to think about topics are. So, Linda, what would be your three top tips?
Well, I think I'll do some around business photography.
Cool, okay.
Because there's things to think about, regardless of whether you're getting somebody like me to do it for you, or whether you're going to do your own.
Okay.
So, the most important one is the message that your pictures convey.
Sure.
Because the majority of people are visual learners, And certainly, I'm a visual learner, I'm sure you won't be surprised to hear that. When I look at a website, I'm automatically picking up the messages that the pictures tell me before I read the text. So you have beautifully crafted text, and I'm probably not going to read it unless I like the look of the photos, and the photos speak to me in a way that I feel they should for that sort of that style of business.
Yeah.
So be very clear about what message you want to send with your photos.
Okay.
And particularly if you would say you're submitting a, an article to the press, for instance, you're hoping to get in the Courier or whatever, what does that photo say, and what message are the readers going to get from that photo?
Okay. Can you kind of give me an example of that, just so you can put it into context?
A while back I did some photos for a big company who was opening an Oxford Street store.
Okay.
And I had a very detailed brief from their PR lady, which was they wanted to show press interest and the number of celebrities in that there. So for the press interest one, I took photos of the press... not just the celebrity in front of the store. I actually took a step back and took a picture of the press pack photographing that celebrity.
Like it.
Because that then shows that people are... well, it tells the story they wanted to tell.
Yeah.
Whereas I could have forced my way to the front of the press pack and just taken a picture of the celebrity, which wouldn't have told the story.
No.
So think, before you get the camera, what is it I want to say with these photos? And on a similar related thing, tip two is really think about your brand values.
Okay.
As I said earlier on, I form opinions of a company based on what the photos look like, and so do most other people.
Yeah.
So if you've think very carefully what your brand values are, and does the photo match that? As, to give you an example, if you're a beautician, most beauticians have a spotlessly clean shop and treatment room and so on.
Yeah.
So if you had a picture of you looking really grungy and so on, when you're talking about what you do, that just would not encourage people to come to you. It would completely clash. So do think about that carefully. I mean, if you just happen to be doing the wolf run and you look filthy, then that's fine, because that's in context. But so make sure that the pictures give the message and fit your brand values.
Okay.
Those are the first two tips.
Yep.
And the final tip is think about where you're going to use the photo.
Okay.
How's it going to look in that context? And there's two aspects to that. There's the shape of the photo. Because if you ever looked, if you're going to use it on Twitter, for instance, that's actually a very sort of almost letterbox format bit that's visible.
Yeah.
So I think it's a ratio of twice the width to one times the height. So you want long, thin photos for Twitter. But if you're going to share stuff on Pinterest, for instance, you get most feedback from photos that are the opposite way, so narrow and tall, because they take up more space on the screen. When you look at Pinterest, all the columns are a similar width.
Okay.
So if you have a long, tall photo, you're taking up more space, and your photo is going to get more impact on the viewers.
Makes sense.
So think about that. And the other aspect is not just the shape, it's also the quality of the photo, or what it's going to look like printed in different things. Because they look fantastic on a screen, whether it's your iPhone screen or on your computer screen.
Yeah.
But when, if say you're submitting something to the press, newspaper print quality isn't so good. I mean, prime example, I've got a fantastic photo of a model, and she's got really dark, shiny hair. And we photographed her against a dark wood door.
Okay.
And when it's printed on proper photo paper, or it's on the screen, the contrast between her shiny hair and the rough door, it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
But if you submitted that to the press in a newspaper, it would just look like one big dark blob.
Okay.
Because you haven't got enough quality, you know, the detail is not enough in those sorts of things. So do think carefully. So if we wanted to do, well, we did some other pictures of her for the press, and she was against a sort of much lighter, greener background, so it looked fantastic.
Perfect.
In the lower quality output.
Cool.
So, yeah, there's quite a few things to think about. No, those are my sort of top three, I think.
Cool. So, number one is make sure your message, you get your message right.
Yeah.
Number two, make sure your brand matches, your photo matches the brand values.
Yeah.
But then also number three is just figure out where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Perfect. Cheers, Linda.
My pleasure.
Thank you very, very much, Linda, for an absolutely cracking interview. And remember, if you do want to connect with her, just pop onto Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn to connect with her on those kind of platforms. Now, remember, if you do want to get onto the show, just let me know. Contact me via Levington Hour on Twitter or pop me on Facebook or LinkedIn under Gary Jones. The main show from Radio Warwickshire comes on Mondays between 6:30 and 7:30 in the evening, and it's repeated every Wednesday between 5 and 6. So please listen out for new and exciting interviews every week. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Have a great week, everyone. And next week, we're going to be joined by an absolutely fantastic guest. So look out for it soon. Take care, everyone.